This is Gilbert Gottfried, and this is Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Frank Santopadre. And once again, we're recording at Nutmeg with our engineer, Frank Verderosa. Our guest this week is one of the most prolific, visible, and respected actresses of the last seven decades, and a member of a prominent showbiz family with dozens, and I mean dozens, of film and TV roles to her credit. You've seen her in classic television shows like Gunsmoke, The Untouchables, The Andy Griffith Show, The Danny Kaye Show, Columbo, Love American Style, The Odd Couple, The Sopranos, Desperate Housewives, Boardwalk Empire, and even the original Outer Limits and Twilight Zone. She's also appeared in well-known films such as I Love You, Alice B. Toklas, The Bad News Bears, MAME, Mickey and Nikki, The Falcon and the Snowman, St. Elmo's Fire, Blind Date, and Monkey Shines. And in hit stage plays like I Oughta Be in Pictures, Same Time Next Year, Jake's Women, and Brighton Beach Memoirs. In a long and extremely active performing career that began even before her first birthday, she's worked with Jack Benny, Dean Martin, Elvis Presley, Lucille Ball, Kirk Douglas, Milton Berle, Rock Hudson, Elizabeth Taylor, and Peter Sellers, as well as former podcast guests Lee Grant, Matthew Broderick, Bruce Stern, Jessica Walter, Ron Liebman, and Dick Van Dyke, just to name a few. We're pleased to welcome to the show an actor's actor and a woman who once auditioned for the role of Bonnie Blue Butler in 1939's Gone with the Wind, the versatile and multi-talented Joyce Van Patten.
What a introduction. Wow, I did all that, huh?
Did you think you had a career like that?
No, but I did. I kind of have a dim memory of getting on a phony horse over at 20th Century Fox when they had studios in New York and trying to get into Gone with the Wind. I have a kind of memory of that.
Well, you had to be five.
I was like a child. Yeah. I was definitely a child. And I never thought the girl that did it was very good.
So you stayed bitter about it
Still bitter all these years later.
Oh, that's great.
You're one of those guests where I was thinking of throwing away the introduction
right.
and saying, just name a TV show or movie, and chances are she
would. It's staggering.
Well, you know, really, when I first went to California, I had done a lot of stage work. Then I went to Los Angeles in the 60s. It was very easy to get on television. It's become very complicated now. There are so many decisions and people. But then they were just, because we came from Broadway, that was a new thing. They were excited that all those New York actors came at that particular time in the 60s and wanted to do television. That was big. That was exciting. And you would just get jobs. Now it's so complicated. I don't know how anybody can stand it. You just went from show to show. If a director liked you, it was either you or somebody else. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like 12 women all piled into an audition. It was all simpler.
Maybe because television was still relatively new.
Yeah, it was relatively new, and it was exciting. You know, it was all different.
Before I forget to ask, Frank brought it up, and this is a name that's popped up on the show.
Only on this podcast.
A bunch of times.
Yeah.
You worked on stage with Al Sheen, And for those people who don't know Al Sheen, first, shame on you.
why are you listening to this show?
He was the uncle of the Marx Brothers.
You know, right. I never knew that. I never knew. I know that I was in a play with him.
Popsy.
Then again, I was a kid. It was called Popsy. I know that it was a flop, and that was like the thing in our family. Popsy was a flopsy, was the thing. And I remember that. And do you remember the actress? She made herself Jan Sterling, but she was Jane Sterling then.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, she was like the ingenue in it. And I remember I remember she would bring me lollipops to the theater. But it wasn't a very long run. But I did not know that. I knew that it was Gallagher and Sheen, right? They were a famous.
Sure, sure.
Absolutely, were Mr. The Gallagher. Positively, Mr. Sheen.
Was that the Sunshine Boys? Was that what he was using or not?
A little bit. A mixture of them and Smith and Dale.
Smith and Dale. Right. Yeah, so that's good. I mean, I'm glad I know that now. And
but
I did
you
meet.
It?
I did meet Groucho Marx, you know.
You did?
Yes, and I don't remember why, but he was very nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was very accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going with a girl named Erin Fleming.
Oh, she's come up on this show many times.
Yo, yeah.
It's a sad story.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I knew Erin Fleming because she did a play at Mark Taper Forum, you know, in Los Angeles. They would do new theater. It's still going on. They have the Amundsen. They have the Mark Taper. Mm-hmm. They have the whatever. We were doing a new play. And she had a scene. She was playing, a very attractive woman opposite, the man that was supposed to be my husband. I don't remember the plot complication. But she took off her shirt and showed her breasts. I mean, that was sort of new. It was like 1960. Well, no, it was in the 70s. She did that.
Yeah, this was Groucho in his later years.
Yeah, and he came around. He was there. He was sweet, it seemed like.
She came to a rather bad end. It's sad.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible end.
Yeah, I
don't know the real behind story, but she killed herself.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she was homeless for a while.
Yeah.
And then she shot herself.
You know, they were after, the family hated her. The Marx Brothers family, they hated her.
Oh, yeah.
They were after her. They didn't want her to get anything. That's the story that I
heard. Well, then there was a famous trial.
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I missed the trial.
Yeah. You also worked with Kirk Douglas?
Yeah, but
you and Dick, your brother?
Yeah, we were in a show called The Wind Is 90. That must have been right near the end of World War II.
It says 1945 in
research. Yeah, so it would have been when the war ended, actually. And Kirk Douglas was in it and went right to Hollywood and became a star, actually almost immediately after the play. And the other man that was in it was Wendell Corey. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
He went also to Hollywood. He didn't become quite the star that Kirk became, but the two of them were from that period.
What do you remember about Kirk Douglas back then?
He was nice. You know, I was 11.
Oh,
right. You know what I mean?
You weren't judging anyone too much at 11.
You know, and he was very nice to me. And he wrote in my autograph book, you know, I can't wait to see you when you grow up. You know, some cute thing like
that. Oh, nice. Yeah. You also, I love doing this research, Joyce, because I find some really good stuff. I mean, your theater credits. You work with Shirley Booth, for God's sake.
Yeah,
in
more
desk
than
set.
Once. Yeah.
Yeah, and a young Lou Gossett.
Yeah, Louie.
Yeah, and you did Hole in the Head with our friend Lee Grant.
Right.
And Connie Sawyer.
Oh, my pal.
Who's still alive.
106.
Hello. Wow. Believe that?
106.
Wow.
She's at the home.
Yeah, well, let's not rush on that.
She's at the home, and she is just full of energy, and she has a little cottage.
She in Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles, the home in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean when
I
say the home.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, the
retired actors on that.
And you acted a bunch of times. Another name that pops up only on this show. And that's Herb Edelman.
Oh, a lot.
Great Herb Edelman.
I worked with
did a series.
A lot. We did a series together. We did Alice B. Toklas together.
You sure did.
We did a play at that same place that I was on the Mark Table. We did Volpone together.
Mm-hmm.
We worked together a lot.
And what do you remember about Herb?
I loved Herbie.
What a funny man.
Great. He was very, very funny. He never seemed to take anything that seriously. You know, we'd go through, you know, what it's like putting a television show on, all that stuff. He went with everything. He was good, and he was just so funny, too.
Then he wound up being Arthur's boyfriend.
Right. Ooh. The Arthur's boyfriend on The Golden Girls.
He was great.
Right. And also Murray the Cop in the Odd Couple movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was always
hysterical. He was great.
Loved him. Tell us a little bit about The Good Guy since you brought it up. with Bob Denver, and Herb.
Well, The Good Guys was, I can't remember,
Leonard Stern.
Leonard Stern was the producer.
Yeah.
And
smart
guy. We did the pilot. This is just a nice story about Bob Denver, really. And of course, it was traditional to fire somebody after the pilot, and I was going to be fired. And I was very upset about it, of course, but I knew that it was going to happen. And Bob found out about it and refused to do the show if I wasn't on.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Isn't that something? He was sweet. He's a sweet guy.
Leonard Stern told a story about his fan base, about Bob Denver's fan base coming to the tapings, and there was a smell of...
It was more than the fan base. It was also... he was married. Bob was married to a girl named Butch. She was like a hippie, you know, and she would wear funny jeans and like long stuff in that day. And she had two beautiful Hawaiian children from a former marriage. So they would come. They would stand. You know, it was an audience show on Friday nights. She would stand over there with the two beautiful children and looking, you know, kind of very hippie-ish. And their monkey. They had a monkey.
They had a monkey. God bless them.
Can you imagine?
That sounds like a Bob Denver sitcom.
Can you imagine? Nobody looked at the show. They were all over there looking, what's the monkey doing now? Henry, yeah. So that's really all. And it was a time, I don't think, they didn't know how to write for a woman. They always had me coming from the grocery store, and I was like, well, why don't you have me doing something interesting?
Right.
You know,
well, it was a boy's show. I mean,
It was a boy's show.
Did they have you in aprons a lot of time?
Yeah. They didn't know what to do.
You remember The Good Guys? They opened a diner together, Herb Edelman and
Bob
Denver.
We ran about 2 years. I don't think we ran longer.
I think so. I think you added Alan Hale Jr. in the second year.
Yes, they did. Yeah, and also the other one, Jim Backus.
Ben Backus, because the ratings were flagging.
And you were married to another name that comes up on this show, Martin Balsam.
I was married to him, and we have a daughter, Talia Balsam.
Who's a very busy actress.
Very
good actress. And lovely. Yeah, Marty Balsam was such a wonderful actor.
Oh, we talk about him on this show.
Such a wonderful actor. And I tell you, this thing is driving me crazy with people not knowing who anybody is anymore.
Well, Joyce and I talked on the phone yesterday, and I was explaining that obviously she's a friend of Lee's, Lee Grant, and also Ron Liebman and Jessica.
Right.
And Ron and Jessica were here, and they said to Gilbert and I, you know, please keep doing this because it's important to keep these names alive. And so Joyce and I were talking on the phone, and she said it's so sad that people don't remember a lot of these great people, and that's kind of what we're trying to do here.
And also not interested enough to look it up. It's so easy now. Google them. You know what I mean?
Of course, you can find so much out.
We were at a table recently. We were having dinner, Frank and I and Gino, and we mentioned to this girl, like Groucho Marx, she had no idea.
She was all of 24.
We should say
in her defense.
Yeah, but my feeling is, I could be wrong about
25.
This. I could be wrong about this. We all knew, I mean, you're younger than I am, but I mean, we all knew who the silent screen stars were. I mean, we all knew who the people were.
Yes.
But there's no interest in, I don't know what.
No, it's true. It's true. While I nudge Gilbert awake, listen to these words from our sponsor.
Were you speaking?
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Da 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 da. Gilbert and Frank, we can't live without you. Gilbert and Frank, we can't live without you. Gilbert and Frank, we can't live without you. Gilbert and Frank, we can't live without you.
And now we return to the show. Getting back to Martin Balsam, he was one of those actors that made it look easy. Like there was no effort involved.
Absolutely.
He was also such a nice guy, even though we didn't stay married. He was always so generous about other actors. When I met him, I was, you know, like, I don't know, 16 years younger. I was quite a lot younger than he. And I was like, you know, jealous of a lot of people that were working.
Of course.
He did not have that in him at all. It was like... that guy is great. You know, Jack Warden is great.
Nice.
I'm not upset that Jack Warden got the job that I wanted, because Jack Warden's, he had that kindness in him.
Wow.
That was nice. And, you know, Lee Grant has that, too. That's a lovely thing.
Yeah, Lee was great to us.
And,
yeah.
And
we loved
for
her.
Those who might not know Martin Balsam, he was Abergast.
In Psycho. Well, 12 Angry Men, 1,000 Clowns,
yes. Oh,
and All the President's Men, and On the Waterfront, and Catch 22.
Well, 1,000 Clowns is he won the Oscar.
Absolutely.
After the Fox.
And Catch 22 and Cape Fear.
He was hysterical.
Yeah, very funny. Funny in comedies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and a stage actor as well.
No, Bronx boy, local boy.
Yep, local boy.
Yep.
True enough.
Yep.
And you worked another name. Only Frank and I would get totally excited about.
I know where you're going.
You worked with Hunch Hall.
Yeah, I did. What's the name of that movie?
Oh, my God. I have it in my notes.
It's the something Manchu Eagle
It was the Manchu Eagle Caper Murder Mystery.
Gabe Dell.
Yeah, Gabe Dell was in it. And Jackie Coogan.
Oh, my God. Every child actor.
Why were we all in that movie?
And Sorrel Book.
Oh, yes. I love Sorrel.
Oh, he was wonderful. I forgot all about Sorrel.
Wait.
That was
Boss Hogg.
We brought him up on this show.
Did you?
Gilbert loves Bye Bye Braverman.
Yeah, well, that's a good movie. Yeah. Isn't Ronnie in that? Isn't
what?
George Segal.
George Segal.
Yeah.
But Jessica Walter is
Jessica.
In
Oh, she's in it. That's right.
Oh, that's
and, right.
And the The only Jewish Bond villain.
Joseph Wiseman.
Yes. He played Dr.
He was
No.
Good. He was good.
Although I must
he
say,
a
fan wrote to us and said, Gilbert is mistaken. There is a second Jewish Bond villain.
Who?
And it's somebody that Joyce worked with. But
of course.
It doesn't really count in the sense that he converted to Judaism.
Oh, okay.
Yaphet Kotto.
That's right.
Yaphet Kotto is Jewish now?
He became Jewish.
Yes, he did. He converted to Judaism.
He doesn't have enough problems.
It wasn't bad enough being black. He had to be a Jew.
As long as he's happy. Did he get married?
I don't know. We found this out.
We have to have Yaphet Kotto on the show.
I'd kill to have him here. He did a movie with Joyce called Bone, the Larry Cohen movie.
Yeah.
It's a very disturbing movie.
Yeah, it is. It's good, though. I thought it was kind of good. Yaphet Kotto. Why was that? I was just going to say something about him, but now it's left my mind.
That's all right. We'll go back to Hunts Hall and Gabe Dell.
Yes.
I think Gabe Dell played my husband.
He was a private eye.
Yeah, I think he was.
And what do you remember about Hunts Hall?
He didn't make an impression. Joyce shaking her head and shrugging. So he didn't make an impression.
But when I did dead end at the Amundsen. You know, it was a play originally, and the dead end kids were in it. And that's why they all went to Hollywood. Okay. So now the dead end kids, probably most of them dead, had children. And those children came to see the play. And they're not children, of course. They're middle-aged men, middle-aged to old men. They came. I don't remember whether Hunts Hall had a son there.
Wow.
I don't remember. But they all came to see the play.
Wow.
Do you remember Stanley Clements in the Bowery Boys? He was a lesser.
Yeah, Stanley Clements also played a jockey in some movie.
He married Gloria Graham.
Yes.
But he used to chase my mother home from school and try to kiss her when they were grade school kids. And my grandmother hit him with a broom. I just want to throw that out there.
Well, it's good. It's a good story.
And getting back to your daughter, Talia.
Yeah.
She, I guess at one point in her life, must have been hated by every single woman on the planet.
Yes, I guess so.
Yeah.
But not for long.
She married George Clooney.
She did. We all went down. Our friend Richard Kind. We all went down in together to Las Vegas.
Yeah,
hate to bring that up. Now.
Yeah,
and they got married. They got married. We spent the weekend in Vegas, and sorry that they didn't stay married, but they both went their own way. I think George has been amazing how he's handled his being famous. I think he's done all the right stuff, don't you?
Yes.
He used his celebrity.
He's an altruistic person.
His celebrity in the greatest possible way.
And he's spoken about the marriage, and he really takes the blame on himself that he just wasn't ready, and he just, you know, didn't give it a chance.
Yeah, I guess that's what. Yeah, they were, I guess, young.
Pretty young.
Pretty young.
But it was a fun marriage in that it was two showbiz families.
Yes.
Two famous showbiz families.
It's true.
Kind of joining forces.
But I would marry George Clooney.
Yeah, yeah. Why not?
You're but spoken she, for.
Yes.
She's got a cute husband now.
Yeah. Oh, she's married to John Slattery from Mad Men.
Yeah.
Now.
She always had those. When I was dating and stuff, I never particularly had great-looking guys. I always wanted funny guys.
Oh, it's your mistake.
She always dated these great-looking men.
Oh, yeah.
And so now she's married to one.
I'd like to also point out, before it's forgotten on the show, that Joyce is half Italian.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to get that in
there.
God
damn it.
Because you're always claiming ownership.
Yeah, you'll have to find. There has to be a Jew somewhere in your past.
Gotta be, right? Gotta be.
Also a New Yorker, like 90% of our guests.
I actually think that is the same thing, almost. If you grow up in New York, you know about being Jewish. Do you know what I mean?
I feel partly Jewish.
Yeah.
I
think it's part of living here, of growing up here.
Well, Tony Orlando's father is he grew up. I guess he grew up in New York.
In Manhattan.
Yes, in the Garment District.
Yeah.
And his father is buried in a Jewish cemetery.
Tony Orlando's father?
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
Now tell us what you were telling us outside, just a little backstory about the family and about your mom and how she was a stage mom. And
she was a stage mom. By the time, when Dickie was born, my mother's whole family, they went to live in Woodhaven at the time, and they signed a petition to get the Italians off the block, but they didn't get them off the block. They stayed there. So there was a lot
of that. I would have signed that.
I know. I'm sure you would have.
And then she met my father, who was not an Italian, was a beautiful blonde, and, you know, that was the whole thing. They got married, and she had this beautiful baby boy. And Dickie was absolutely the most adorable child, and she decided that he was going to be a model, and he was modeling very, very young, and then he was doing little theater. You know, they used to do plays that had a lot of people in them because it didn't cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Most of the plays that I did and that Dickie did had something like, you know, it would be nothing to have 28 people in a play, you know, or 30 people. There were always a lot of kids in them. And so he was doing that. He did radio.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I came along, I was like, that's what I was going to do. So there's pictures of me in, you know, baby sweaters, modeling baby sweaters. And
you modeled for the Sears catalog when you were like 5 months old or 6 months old or some crazy thing?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's sort of interesting.
Your brother Dick also has a ridiculous resume.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh. He acted with the Lunts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 5 years.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. He's a billions of movies and TV shows.
He did.
Everything.
And he was also—he seemed to be in with that crowd of Mel Brooks.
Yeah, he's close with Mel.
And Don Rickles and all those people.
And who's the guy that did Get Smart? Don Adams.
Don Adams.
Yes.
So he was in that group. Yeah.
And Don Adams had a brother.
Yarmy.
Dick Yarmy.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah,
you're good.
Yarmy's Army.
Yeah. They all gambled. I mean, I don't think Mel. Yeah, Mel does, too. I'm wrong. And that was the bonding thing, I think. They all had that.
I did a little research and found out Dick liked the horses.
Oh, no, that was his. He was very much more interested in that and poker than he really was in acting.
But he beat out Brando for a part. He beat out young Brando, I found.
Really?
In my research.
In what?
I'll have to double check on
that. I think if I may, sir.
Okay, correct me.
I think what happened is when he did I Remember Mama on television.
Right.
Brando had played that on Broadway.
Is that what it was?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
But that's the connection. I don't think he ever, but maybe he did.
But in other words,
he played Nels, which was the character that Brando had played in on the stage.
He did. I did find a story he told about acting with Tallulah Bankhead, her asking him to come into a room to read a line, and she was naked. She was stark naked.
he was a good storyteller. He was a great raconteur.
I wish we had him. I wish we could have him.
Yeah, you'd have loved it. Yeah, he really was great.
You work with Jack Benny.
It was so thrilling to me, I can't tell you. I was pretty thrilled when I went to Hollywood because it was in the 60s and the studios were still there. It was still MGM. And when I went to work there, there was Andy Hardy's old house. You know, they had the back lots.
Wow,
then,
still on the lot.
And they had all of the clothes. I wore a lot of Eleanor Parker. Do you remember her?
Sure.
I used to wear a lot of her clothes.
Sure, of course.
If I was working at MGM. And they had the studio was filled with those women that would make these things. I mean, it was so great to just see that part of it, you know, to me, because the movies were like, you know, amazing. And then to work with people like Gladys Cooper. Do you remember her at all in movies? Well, you guys remember. She was in everything at MGM. She was the character one. To work with those people, it was like a dream come true, really.
And what was Benny like?
So nice. Oh, God, he was so nice.
Did you tell me on the phone he had a little thing for you?
I felt he had a little crush on me. I don't want you to feel that he did anything he shouldn't have done.
Oh, that's great.
But he was just so sweet to me, and he kind of could sit with me at lunch and everything. He was just darling. And here's a nice story about Milton Berle.
Oh.
I know. That's why I say you don't get a lot of those.
I was leading into Milton Berle.
Well, we were going to do it. It was supposed to be done live.
Yes.
And Milton said, I don't trust myself, and I don't want to do anything to hurt Jack. He didn't trust himself not to be piggy.
Not to be what?
Piggy.
Oh.
You know, to do stuff that would make Jack not happy.
Well, this was an episode of The Benny Show where Uncle Milty was being adopted by you and Jack Benny.
Yeah.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around.
But I thought that was sweet. I mean, that's a nice story. He was afraid he would he respected Jack Benny, I guess is the story.
Wow. That's great.
And he didn't want to do anything that would seem disrespectful to him.
And it's funny, Benny is one of those people I've yet to hear a bad thing about.
No, there's nothing bad.
No.
There's nothing bad. The writers all liked him. That's classic. The writers hate the...
Sure.
Right? The writers hate the comic.
I don't think they liked Danny Kaye very much.
Now, we can't touch upon Milton Berle without touching upon what he's best known for.
Which?
He's supposed to be extremely... well endowed.
He would make Donald Trump jealous. Yes.
Did you
Big
ever
hands,
actually
you
I never I can't give you I have no information on that at all, but he was certainly, you know, he was married to a girl named Joyce. So that was always like that was his thing with me. I was married to a girl named Joyce, but he never made any kind of moves on
me. And never showed
you. I have to tell you, people didn't make, you know, you always hear those stories about and then they got me on the couch. That never happened to me. Well, it did happen to me once. Do you remember a character actor named Bill Conrad, William Conrad?
Of course,
oh,
Cannon.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, he just made phone calls to me late at night.
Oh, my.
With that deep voice of his?
But that was depressing. That's the one guy.
But at least he had that great radio voice.
That Rocky and Bullwinkle voice.
Yeah, he was Matt Dillon on the radio.
So he would... Call up with dirty phone calls?
He had a show called Cannon, I think.
Cannon,
it was called
yeah, he was a cop.
Just while
Frank
I was
Cannon.
On the show.
Yes.
I mean, he didn't stalk me or anything. But while I was on the show, I guess he had a couple of drinks, whatever, and then he called me. That's my only time that ever seemed to be a problem.
And now here's something whenever I ask actresses this, and I always scream bullshit. You worked with Elvis Presley.
Yes.
The Trouble with Girls.
Every single actress claims they didn't have sex with Elvis Presley.
I definitely did not have sex with
Elvis. No.
All I can say about Elvis
Presley.
You should
have remembered that.
I would have remembered that. Yeah. Is that I can only say what everybody says about him. He was very polite and nice. Also, I didn't really have anything to do with him. You know, it was one of those, it was like a Chautauqua. which was, and I was playing Gertrude Ederle, you know, the woman that swam
the swimmer.
English Channel.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have anything to do with him. So I have no reports on him at all, except that he was polite and nice.
That's nice.
And, yeah, I heard, like, Elvis used to call everybody sir or ma'am.
Yeah.
Well, he was a good Southern boy. Wake Martindale's wife dated him.
Oh, that's right.
We had her on the show.
That's right. And so you're still denying you've had sex with Elvis Presley.
I'm still denying it.
Let's pull another name off that list, because you were just talking about how the writers loved Benny, but one of the guys the writers didn't always have a fondness for was Danny.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you brought up Danny, because the truth, when I think about my career coming into comedy, is Paul Mazursky.
Oh, wow.
Because he was doing, there was no Danny Kaye show. I knew Paul from New York. He was an actor. I was out there. We were working. There was a place called The Crescendo on Hollywood Boulevard, and we was going to do a club act of improvisations. In other words, the first set would be stuff that you set, and then the second thing, you know what that is, and then the audience would give you ideas. So I went and I auditioned, and I got it. So it was Paul Mazursky, me, Larry Tucker, who became Paul's, Alan Seuss, and a girl named Liz Shaw, who was very beautiful, and I never really saw her after this. So we did that. I'm going to say we did it for about 3 months. I was working in a nightclub, which is interesting to do. And then that was the end of that. And then Paul and Larry got on the Danny Kaye show. And the Danny Kaye show was on for, this is a good actor story. It was on for about a year. Getting to the end of the first year, he could not find a woman that he liked. They talked him into having me. I did like the last show of that season or whatever. He liked me. I was going to be on the Danny Kaye show. And then I spent 3 years on the Danny Kaye show. And that was really great. He was always very, he was nice to me. But he wasn't always nice to everybody. I know that.
We heard some bad stories from previous guests.
Yeah.
Men.
I think that he was nice to me.
In fact, in Tony Curtis's book,
he says
he was at a party and Danny was being very rude to him and very insulting. And Tony said he looked at Danny in the eyes at one point and said, "Fuck you, Danny."
We had a couple of people here, Jamie Farr, Bernie Coppell, a couple of people that didn't enjoy their experience of working with him.
No, he was difficult.
Yeah.
He didn't talk a lot to you. I remember once he had a dressing room that was like you could eat there. And one day he had Roddy McDowell, who was a guest on the show, and myself and Harvey, and some man who I don't remember
Harvey Korman.
Was from the TV guy. I don't remember who. And nobody talked. I remember the sweat was like dripping down my chest. You know that feeling when nobody knew what conversation to have? And if somebody, Roddy, who was terrific, you know, you'd start something and he just wouldn't pick it up. It was the most awful lunch I've ever
Roddy
had.
Roddy seemed like a nice guy.
Oh, he was adorable.
Another raconteur.
He was a raconteur, and he loved people, and he loved to entertain, and, you know, he was
We hear lovely things about him. Harvey Korman, you and Harvey Korman were the repertory in that repertory company. And Howie Morris, too?
The other one. Howie knew, of course, and he was on it.
Well, Conway, it was the first time that Korman and Conway.
Yeah, no, those were great years for me. I have to tell you, great years for me. I worked with Art Carney. They were just wonderful people on
Vincent
that show.
Price, Art Carney, Vinny. Satchmo, Don Knotts, Liberace, Gene Kelly, George Burns, Peter Ustinov.
Insane. That was good. That was a wonderful time for me. But here's the payoff. So then the show is over. And Paul and Larry write a movie called
I Love You, Alice B. Toklas.
I Love You, Alice B. Toklas. They're desperate.
I Love
write
You,
the
Alice
girl.
B. Toklas.
And so does Herbie Fine.
I Love Gertrude You, Alice
Stein.
B. Toklas. And I want to change your name to mine.
So also Herbie Fine.
Oh, Herbie Fine. He's Herbie Fine in the movie.
No, so they wrote the character named Joyce, and they were desperately frightened for me to meet Peter Sellers because he was such a difficult man. And they got me so nervous. Be careful of what you wear. Don't wear purple. You can't wear purple. Be careful. You know, like, they had me so nervous. He was making another movie at Columbia, and I met them there. I went up to the dressing room. Of course, they waited downstairs for me. I went in, I talked to him for, I'm going to say 10 minutes. I don't remember it being particularly difficult. And I left. And then the boys went up. They said, wait here. I waited, and they came down, and they said, the job's yours. I never read with him.
Wow.
Nothing.
You're very funny in that movie.
Oh, thank you. He was, you know, he was great to me. There was another person that was great.
I've heard with Peter Sellers, very much like Sid Caesar, that in character, they were comfortable. But if they were out of character, it's like they didn't even exist.
That's interesting. I think that is probably true. He was much easier and more available than Danny. You know, if he didn't want to talk about, he liked to talk about flying, you know, airplanes,
mm-hmm.
and he liked to talk about operations. You know, he would go into operation rooms with doctors and watch them do appendectomies or whatever.
Danny Kaye.
Yeah.
Strange.
I mean, if you didn't talk about that, you sat at a table sweating.
He was a baseball fan. He was a big Brooklyn Dodgers guy.
Yeah.
He wound up buying a baseball team.
Yeah, yeah.
Later.
But that was a great 3 years for me. Really a great 3 years.
I saw a clip of you, Danny, Fred Gwynne in a Cyrano skit.
Yeah, Cyrano.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
And what was Harvey Korman like?
Perfect. Perfect in every way. He had what Herb had. They're just gentle, sweet men.
Wow.
I loved him. Don't you think he was great?
Oh, yeah. Terrific.
Absolutely. We've had friends of his on the show who just...
Everybody liked
adored
him,
I think.
Don't you think?
Yeah, well, Ronnie Schell told us he was paranoid.
Ronnie Schell.
Oh, yeah. But I remember reading...
We had him on twice.
How is he?
He's good. He's in L.A.
Do you go to L.A.? Or
no,
do
we do it on... We have a hookup from L.A. here, and
oh
we just do it.
Oh, my God. You know, I love American Style. I always had somebody like
Ronnie
Schell. Oh,
yeah. You did a Love American Style with Rich Little.
And Mort Saul.
And Mort Saul. Wow.
This was so lucky. I really mean it. This was all just lucky.
Yeah,
really.
Paul Mazursky, also Pat McCormick was a writer on that Danny
Kaye
show.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
And Larry Gelbart.
I remember Dick Van Dyke said of Harvey Korman, he was the world's greatest second banana.
No argument.
Yeah.
I think he was flawless. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
He could do anything.
Yep.
Go ahead, Gil.
You worked with Peter Falk on Columbo.
I did. I worked with Peter Falk on Mikey and Nikki, too.
Oh.
Mikey and Nikki was a lost movie that was done by Elaine May. She wrote it and directed it, and it was John Cassavetes and Peter and other people, me, but other good people
mm-hmm.
that I'm just not remembering right now. And
I've never seen it, but it has a reputation.
You know, you should try to see it.
I will. I like Elaine May a lot.
Because I see Elaine now. I still see her. They re-released it, and it got a lot of good reviews. She was laughing about it. I mean, it was suddenly getting good reviews 20 years later.
We love her work.
Yeah.
I've never caught up to it, but...
It was interesting after Mike died. Did you see they were showing a lot of the Mike and Elaine's things?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd forgotten how great they were. They just were... Fabulous.
And Herb turns up in I Love You, Alice B. Toklas, too.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, yeah. I just watched it. You're very funny in it.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of good comedy in that movie.
Yes.
I mean, the Mexican family and the neck braces. I mean,
it was good.
It's a very good script.
Yeah, it was a good script.
Harold?
Hmm?
Do you know what happened this time?
Huh?
The earth moved for me, like in Hemingway. Did the earth move for you?
No, I don't think so.
I didn't satisfy you.
Of course you satisfied me. It was just that the earth didn't move this time, that's all.
But it has moved in the past.
Oh, Joyce, you know, many times, many times.
When?
Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago it moved.
We must psychedelicize their impoverished dreams. Teach them how to live again. Make them stop playing the ego game. Teach them how to die so that they can be born again. So that they can become a flower again.
Harold? Is your asthma bothering you?
I have a little tickle right now, yeah.
It's a little heartbreak kid. About a guy who's a reluctant groom, and he meets a younger woman. And
yeah.
Yeah, but good. But you succeeds know, on its own terms.
I work with Tony, too, Curtis.
Oh, yeah? Tell us about that.
That was sad. He was originally in I Would Have Been Pictures. He was the original man in it, and he was really, you know, I think he was a very good actor. Do you agree with me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was a very good actor. And it was about a guy that had been a big writer in Hollywood and wasn't anymore. So that was great because, you know, he carried that on stage with him. But they couldn't count on him. They literally couldn't. One night he would be great. The next night he would be terrible. The next, you know, then he would be great. He never knew why it worked when it worked. So they fired him. And they replaced him with Ronnie Liebman.
What?
Ron Liebman replaced him.
Oh.
Yeah.
I always felt bad for him.
Yeah, he seemed like a troubled guy. He came from a really bad upbringing.
Yeah. But he had a long career.
Sure did.
And he got himself in trouble, I think, too.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think, you know, doing 8 shows a week, you can't play around with stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
You can't
course,
do it.
Of course.
You
he had to, a drinking and drug problem.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. But I felt bad. It was just awful to
absolutely.
Work with someone.
Because he was
fired.
A really
it was such,
good
and he was a big star. Yeah, he had been such a big star. But then Ronnie, of course, was great. So.
We love Ron Liebman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were
he used to be loved.
Underrated. And speaking of I Ought to Be in Pictures, now I'm reminded of who played the role in the movie. Someone else you worked with, Walter Matthau.
I'm so boring, but I loved him, too. He couldn't have been sweeter.
You did Bad News Bears with Walter.
And, you know, his wife was in Mikey and Nikki, whoever that he was.
Oh, yes.
Carol.
Hell.
Yeah,
yeah, I'll think
good.
Of it.
She's good in it.
And what was Matthau like?
The best. Just loved him. And did you ever see Bad News Bears?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The greatest. I mean, it's just such a wonderful movie. But when you were making it, you hated it because it was hot and you were on that ball field all the time. There were all people coming. He would go up to all the people, all the fans. He'd talk to them. He gave his autograph. He was like, he just was adorable. And
you
sweet
were Cleveland.
And fun.
You were
I was
the
Cleveland.
Equipment manager.
I was. And then Tatum O'Neill, who was a young and troubled 12-year-old, she wouldn't give anybody her autograph.
There's Walter Matthau giving
Walter
out.
Walter Matthau was right. out there signing it. Yeah, that was sad.
And he was funny in person, too.
You got to work with two Felix Ungers and two Oscar Madisons because
Cody.
You work with Art Carney. In the K show, you worked with Matthau, and you were telling me on the phone that you knew Tony and Jack.
Tony and I did a tour. They used to do a thing through the Florida tour where you'd play Palm Springs and you'd play Fort Lauderdale with a new play called The Button, and it was him and me and John McMartin, who was a wonderful
John McMartin, love him too.
Actor.
Just passed recently.
Yeah, he did. So that was Tony, who had a great sense of humor. And kept you laughing all the time. There's a certain kind of. Once we realized the play was a bomb and we were in Florida, he would do anything to break you up on stage, you know. So it got to be about that. You know, who can break who up?
He tell you that he'd confide in you at some point and tell you that he had a difficult relationship with his dad, Tony Randall?
He had a mean father.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you know that, though?
Oh, I go.
Did
very,
I tell you that?
No, I just go very deep into research and I have a lot of help.
Yeah, it was surprised to me when he told me that. Yeah,
what
he did.
What was wrong with him and his father?
His father was mean. I'm going to say his father was a rabbi. Is this possible?
I don't know. He's Lenny Rosenberg from Oklahoma, from
yeah,
Tulsa.
I think there was a religious thing that was involved with it that really cut him down.
Interesting.
Really, really cut him down. And he did tell me that. And then he later, you know, he was married for many years to a lovely woman named Florence, and then she died.
Right.
They never had children.
Right.
And then he married again, and he had, I think he had two kids.
Yeah, when he
very,
was in his
70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he passed.
One of our favorites.
And what about Jack?
You knew Jack and Brett, too. Yeah.
I feel like I knew them all my life.
That's
because
great.
They were here in New York, you know.
Of course.
And they were in the Village. And... Is Jack's
No, we lost Jack.
Oh, no.
Did he go?
Yeah, about 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track of it, I tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were in a, I have to tell our fans, I would be remiss if I didn't point out to our Odd Couple fans that you're in a memorable episode with George Firth.
With George Firth.
Another guy who was a good friend of yours. Okay. You know George Firth.
Oh, yes.
He's in Blazing Saddles and many other wonderful things.
Many wonderful things.
And
he was on
talents.
The Good Guys, I think, more than once.
Yes,
yeah,
he
I
was.
Think he was on
and
the Good Guys.
And on that other actor that they used a few times.
Richard Stahl.
Yes.
Yeah,
another
he
funny
was
guy.
Good.
Another
Wasn't
funny
he good?
Guy. Yes. Like, so, like, deadbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so you were watching all these things when you were kids?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're addicts.
Yeah, we're pathetic.
So is there anything happening now, television-wise, that you can't miss?
I wouldn't know.
I'm enjoying Fargo, but I think I'm like 2 years late.
No, I've only seen the one. They do it really well. Didn't you
Jean
think?
Jean Smart in the second season was a revelation.
I don't know that I saw Jean. Gee, I hadn't heard her name in a long time.
I'll give you the discs.
Yeah. Yes.
Really, that's the best thing I've seen in quite a while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But other than that, I'm like Gilbert. I'm a throwback. I'm lost in in the 60s and the 70s, so I don't watch a lot of new television.
We're still catching up on... And yet another show you were on. You can't name a show.
Oh, my God. Did you look at that IMDb page?
It's insane.
Every
really?
Show.
Isn't that something?
Ben Casey, The Detectives, The Untouchables, Andy Griffith Show, The Don Rickles Show. You did every
I
Western.
Liked him too.
Oh, tell us about Don Rickles.
He was great. First of all, he was really smart. I mean, you know, if he went after you, it was very, he got you, is what I'm trying to say. But no, I mean, he got you in a good way almost.
Oh, yeah, he would
He hated the way
everybody.
I dressed, which is good, because I didn't really, you know, I didn't dress the way women should dress, according to him. But I thought he was wonderful, and he was good. I thought he was a good actor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, you see him in, Run Silent, Run Deep?
Yeah.
He was in Run For Your Life with Ben Gazzara.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Where
that's
he has
right.
a nervous breakdown.
He's in a couple of those Beach Blanket movies, too.
Yes.
Oh, and,
yes, he
yeah. and he's the
And the man with the X-ray eyes.
Yeah, the crooked carnivore.
With Ray Milland.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're freaks. We're freaks, Joyce.
I never got a chance to meet Rickles.
You would have liked him.
Yeah.
I think you would have liked him. I did.
Tell us a little bit about when you were in that Elvis movie. John Carradine and Vincent Price were in that movie.
I
didn't interact with him.
But I knew Vincent.
You knew Vincent.
I knew Vincent. I think originally he was sweet. I'm a big bore. I really am. But like when we were doing the Danny Kaye show, it was right next to where the farmer's market was. So he would go. We'd go for lunch, and then Talia, my daughter, was a little girl, and he bought like a little. Thing of honey, you know, a little bear that was filled with honey for my daughter.
Yes.
I thought that was like sweet. And then I used to see him, and we had a mutual friend, and we'd have dinners together. He was another great raconteur.
Oh, yeah. All the people we missed out on this show, we kick ourselves.
Yeah, that's a shame, because he really had tales to tell.
I met him twice, very briefly.
Yeah.
And just totally charming.
Yeah, totally charming. Lovely. Lovely.
You know, we're not even going to get to... I'm not going to say it, Verderosa. I'm not going to say scratch the surface. But we'd have to do a 4-hour show with
you,
Joyce.
I was thinking that.
I have to say, we've done 175 of these. And looking at your IMDb page, and I said to my wife last night, putting the research together, I said, I can't even get my arms around this. You've done so much.
Well, that makes me feel good, because sometimes you wonder what you've done. It is.
It's
you know
a body
what I mean?
Of work,
yeah,
Joyce.
It's really nice to hear, and it's charming to talk to both of you. It is, and it's always good to talk about myself.
Well, the
typical actor.
Yes, right. Love to talk about me.
Tell us about Lucy. You're in MAME with Lucy and Bea Arthur.
Lucy. She was
for God's
nice
sake. And Robert Preston.
Oh, God.
He was a prince. He was a prince.
I love this.
Yeah. There's got to be somebody I didn't like.
We'll find it. Maybe it's Gilbert.
Let's see. Because I dislike people, but I can't think of any of the...
We'll
she was
some...
extremely nice to me. She talked all the time about Desi.
Wow.
Really?
Don't you find that interesting?
And this was 1974.
Oh, they were long. She's married to
That's what I mean. She's married to Gary Morton at that point.
But then she turned on me, and I don't know what... Not during the movie, But then she invited me to several things, and I think she was really lonely in a way, and I think she really wanted a friend, and I was married. I didn't have the time to play whatever she was playing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but she didn't like me anymore. But I think she wanted a friend, yeah. You know? She thought I was good. She liked acting with me.
Yeah.
Desi would have been an amazing guest.
All of these people.
He invented
television.
TV. Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much.
And I think with Lucy, she, you know, they couldn't get along as a married couple.
I think she was crazy.
Admired him.
I think she was crazy about him. I really do. That was.
Yeah,
they
say she never got over it.
Well, why was she talking about him? You know, all the time.
And when she was in another marriage.
Yeah, but that marriage made sense to me when I looked at it because he was like a very good valet or something. Do you know what I mean?
Gary Morton?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean that even in a nice way.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. It was like having a good assistant more than being in love. I have no right to say that. I never, you know, I rarely saw them together, but that was the sense that I got.
And opposite Captain Nice. I think you appeared on Mr. Terrific.
You remember doing a show called Mr. Terrific?
You know, and whatever happened to that guy that did Mr. Terrific?
Stanley Strimple?
Tell me, whatever.
Stephen Strimple.
Stephen. How do you know that?
I don't know.
He was so excited
disturbing.
About it. I must have done the second or the third of those, and he'd come from New York. He was a New York actor.
Yeah. Dick Gaudier was in that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who you worked with.
And I remember.
And John MacGyver.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Did you know him?
John MacGyver. One of my favorites.
Now, wait a minute. Who was John MacGyver?
Gilbert, give her a little.
John MacGyver would talk
like this. Oh, he was great. Absolutely. No, he was great. John MacGyver was a very good friend of Carol O'Connor's.
Wow.
Isn't that a good...
I love that.
He would always play, like, very pompous.
Oh, perfect.
You know, total buffoons, you know, who are in charge.
Yeah.
He'd be good. Like the hotel manager or something.
And you know, everything must be done according to schedule, sir.
That's perfect. You sound just good? Like him. You really do.
Isn't he a good mimic?
A very good mimic.
You should hear his Peter Lorre.
He was great. Peter Lorre
was
great.
Did you ever work with Peter Lorre?
No, I wish.
No.
And I never met him. I think he's so great. Don't you just think he's great in movies?
Oh, terrific.
Oh, my God. So great.
One person you did work with was our friend Abe Vigoda on a show called The Comedy Company with Jack Albertson. Do you have any recollection of this? Okay, that was
Are you sure it's me?
It's you. This was going to be our question, our
sure
Grill the Guest
Dickie?
Question.
Dickie? It could have
for
been
Will
Dickie.
Harris. No, a gentleman named Will Harris. We do this thing called Grill the Guest where we basically...
So you don't remember Abe Vigoda?
I know who he was, course, but
it
I
was Howard Hesseman, Abe Vigoda.
Howard Hesseman, I worked with.
Don Kalfa, you, and Jack
comedies,
Albertson.
Comedy?
The Comedy Company. All right, we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Something about The Comedy Company is ringing a bell, but not working with those actors.
How about Lloyd Bridges? You did a ton of stuff with him. Any memories?
The Gladys? I never worked
you
with
You did him. The Lloyd Bridges show? No. No memory.
I have no memory of
these.
You never went scuba diving.
We're going to find someone you dislike.
I knew the family. I knew the family. I knew the boys when they were young, mm-hmm. Jeff and Bo.
Bo and Jeff.
Yeah.
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 In my notes, it said you did the Lloyd Bridges show and you did a pilot with him. But maybe that's not right. Here's somebody you definitely work with a lot, Andy Griffith.
A lot.
Yeah.
Tell us about Andy Griffith.
He was.
Let me guess, he was a prince.
He was a mean drunk.
No,
he beat his kids.
He was, he hated very much. We did Hawaii 5-0 together, and he hated Jack Lord so much.
Oh, really? Did he?
He could not stand him.
Oh, that's great.
Well, actually, a lot of people couldn't stand him.
I didn't
he
know
was
that.
A bit of a, you know, I don't know. He was very full of himself.
You guys
was,
played grifters. You played a couple of confidence.
Yeah.
Actually,
you know, I
woman.
Replaced Carol Burnett on it because she couldn't do it at the last minute. And they were afraid that Andy would not want to do it without Carol. But he did. And then we worked together a lot. But he did hate him. And if
that's good.
He almost wanted Jack Lord to know that, too. You know what I mean? He would walk away from him when he talked. It was really funny. And but then we did a lot of stuff together. I worked with him a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. A movie called Winter Kill.
We did that.
And of course, the Andy Griffith Show.
Then the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah.
Where that's when I got Alice Pitokos. I got the call. Oh, yeah. I got the call on the phone that I was going to do Alice Pitokos. And it was the contracts were being signed and everything. And a woman that played Aunt B came to me, Frances Bobbier, and she said, "I'm very happy, but darling, remember this. It goes up, it comes down. It goes up, it comes down."
Wow.
Isn't that great?
You remembered that.
And,
yeah.
And I heard Andy and Aunt B hated each other.
Oh, well, that I wouldn't know because I didn't spend that much time
but
on the show.
That is great.
Yeah.
That what she said, it goes
Wasn't
up
that good?
Goes
it goes up, it goes down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's some other names. We're just going to keep throwing these at you. You did a movie called Malice in Wonderland with Elizabeth Taylor.
And didn't get to meet her. It was so heartbreaking for me because she was my idol. I loved her, you know.
Well, you didn't have any scenes together.
We had no scenes together. I'd worked with Jane the whole time. And so I didn't get to meet her. It was an interesting... it was about Hollywood. It was about Hedda Hopper.
And, yeah, Hedda Hopper. Parsons, and Luella Parsons. Right. Yeah, yeah. What about the Mary Tyler Moore Hour, which you did?
Yeah, we did 17 of those. And David Letterman played my boyfriend.
Michael Keaton was on that show.
Wow. And
Ron Rifkin.
And Ronnie. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was after she had done The Great Show.
Yes.
And this was going to be part a variety and part a regular. In other words, she was an actress who had a show.
Right.
And I was her secretary. And, you know, Michael Keaton was the guy that worked at the studio, you know, one of those guys in the uniform. And she had a press agent, you know, it was that. Dodie Goodman. Do you remember Dodie Goodman?
Dodie Goodman.
Oh,
we
yes.
loved her from Mary Hartman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
loved
yeah.
Her. And what do you remember about doing Twilight Zone?
It was thrilling to do Twilight Zone, number one. Number two, we shot the sets were the old sets from Marie Antoinette. You know, it was at MGM, so it was all that stuff. And it was Gladys Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
Wilfred Hyde White, Cyril Delamonte, Cecil Kellaway.
Alan Napier.
I couldn't believe that I was... And they all, Gladys Cooper and Wilfred Hyde White wanted to talk all day long about everything. They loved to gossip about Rex and Kay.
And this Rex and Kay.
I mean, it was like.
That would be Rex Harrison.
It was, I couldn't believe it. It was so great to do.
I mean, you're a kid from Queens.
Exactly.
And suddenly you're
I'm
on the soundstage in Hollywood with these veteran.
And my friend Lee Phillips played my husband.
Yeah,
so
Phillips.
That was nice. So I had Lee as a friend there. So that was, I remember only wonderful things.
And
Rod Serling came around, you know.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, he came around. I forget whether it was a meal that we all had or something. That was a class act, and it still is. You know, you can make money if you sign.
And Rod Serling was nice.
Yeah, he was. He smoked a lot.
Oh, that's.
Yeah. But people did then, didn't they?
That's the voyage, the passage on the Lady Anne.
Yeah.
That episode is one of the hour-long episodes.
Yes, an hour-long.
Yeah. It's very spooky. It's you and Lee, and you get on, I guess, what is essentially a ghost ship.
And we're ready to have a divorce, but we're trying to stay together, and then through this, we get back together.
It's sad. It's an interesting Twilight Zone episode because it's romantic.
Yeah.
And it's sad as opposed to scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the actors are charming as hell.
God, yes. God.
Oh, excuse me. What about this one? The Lady Anne.
Oh, I don't think so.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, it's very nearly the oldest boat in the water, and it's certainly the slowest. 13 days to La Havre. Another half day to Southampton. If there are favorable winds.
Well, forget it.
No, wait a minute. It leaves on Thursday. That's less than a week.
Please, Mrs. Ransom, forget it. Take your husband's advice. The Lady Anne is an antique, a relic.
Look, we can relax when we get there, if that's what you want. Don't make such a big deal out of it.
Well, it is a big deal to me, a very big deal. Give us 2 tickets.
For this?
Yeah, that's right. The Lady Anne.
And before I forget, Mr. Terrific didn't have words to the theme song.
You're gonna sing it, Joyce, the theme song?
Can you do "We're the Good Guys"? We're the good guys. We never let a friend down. We're the good guys.
I've forgotten it. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time
since I saw the good guys. Even longer since I've seen Mr. Terrific. Oh, tell us about Rock Hudson. You did the Martian Chronicles?
Well, yeah, but I didn't really get to know Rock Hudson. I worked with Darren McGavin.
Oh.
You know, they were Ray Bradbury short things from Fahrenheit 4.
Sure, sure.
So it was Darren and I. But we were in Malta, and so I did see him at the hotel and everything, and he was very good looking and very nice, but I didn't really spend time.
Well, then tell us about Darren McGavin, who we love.
He was great.
Was he nice to you?
Shit, yeah. He was.
We hope
was
you're going
nice
to say that about us when this is over.
Well, I
Joyce,
will.
When,
I have
well, that'll be was, pushing it.
What was working with Gilbert Gottfried like?
Yes. He was a prick. Oh, and you worked with yet another favorite over here, Jack Gilford.
Oh. Here I go again.
The best, right? We hear nothing but nice things.
Little sweetheart. He was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And so good. Wasn't he so good?
Oh, we loved him.
Everything.
We did the play together. We did supporting cast that was written by George Firth, actually.
Tell us a little bit about George. You were starting to tell us before.
George, well, he just was wacky. You had to be careful around George. You know what I mean? There are people that you have to just watch your step. But he was wonderfully bright and interesting, but he could start trouble.
Really? Interesting.
Wow.
We love him. What about you did a Western with Dino and Brian Keith?
Yes.
Called Something
Big. And here's a nice story about an actor, Dean Martin.
Oh, there you go.
So there I was. We were in Mexico, and I'm on a hill, badly dressed, with this other actress, Judy Meredith. And down the hill is Dean Martin and I guess Brian Keith.
And somebody. Denver Pyle was in it.
And who's also a wonderful actor. And Dean Martin starts walking up the hill toward me, just about to start shooting. And he says, wait a minute. He says to me, I just saw you in Alice Bitokos and you such a wonderful performance. Wasn't that a nice thing?
How nice.
Wow. And then he went back down the hill. And I thought that was so nice to do before your first shot in a movie, to make somebody feel good.
Oh,
like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how that's nice.
A good Dean Martin. But you never heard a bad thing about him either, did you, Dean Martin?
No, actually.
Well, I heard he and Frank Sinatra beat up the chairman of Hunt's Food.
I don't think it was Dino. I think it was Frank, as the story goes.
But
why would they do that?
They were both, in the bottle, and they owned Vegas, and he asked them if they could hold it down a little, and they didn't like that. And I heard they beat up the chairman of Hunt's Foods, and he crashed through a glass table and was in a coma for a while. He almost died. And never, even scarier, he never pressed charges.
Scared to death.
Yeah.
He was scared to death.
Yeah.
Those were the days when they didn't get that in the paper.
Oh, yeah. Now you could do something alone in your room. Everybody knows it.
They protected those people.
But yeah, back then, they were having affairs. They were having people killed. It was like, okay.
I'm so knocked out by your long list of credits here, Joyce. I'm just going to throw some more names at you. You did Murder at the Howard Johnson's with our pal Tony Roberts.
Yeah. And the great Bob Dischey.
Bob Dischey, another funny guy.
Yes.
Does he live in New York? We got to get Bob Dischey on this show.
He's here.
He's hilarious.
I was with him not that long ago doing a play reading.
Wonder if he'd do this with us, Gil.
I bet he would love to do it.
I love Bob Dischey.
Yeah.
I think he's a comic genius.
We do too.
I think he's a genius. And that play, that's Ron Clark and Sam Bobrick.
Bobrick.
Yeah, good guys. Also writers on the K Show. if that had had a good producer, that play could have run, because it was three characters, it was an audience pleaser, and Bob Dischey gave an incredible performance.
Yeah.
And so did Tony, but Bob had the showier part.
Funny guys.
Know? And your, I guess it's your nephew, Vincent Van Patten.
Is Dickie's youngest son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was both a championship tennis player and an actor.
Yes. I actually watched him play at Wimbledon one year. But he does this poker thing. Do you know what he does?
No.
They do poker on television, and he's, what do you call the admin, you know, the people that talk about it?
It's a color commentator?
Color commentator.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he goes all over the world. He goes to Monaco and, you know, wherever, and they do that.
Shared his dad's love of poker.
Yeah.
I remember him on Apple's Way with Ronnie Cox.
Yeah, right.
Remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
And he was the son.
And
he was a bit of a teen heartthrob.
Yes, he was. He was on all those Tiger Beat things.
He sure as hell was.
Tiger Beat.
Yeah, really handsome guy.
Yeah.
How about Carl Malden?
He's another nice guy.
Well, what the hell are you doing on this show?
We're going to find a bastard. I'm going to keep throwing through my, my notes.
I must have hated somebody. Surely there's somebody I can't stand.
And you were in that movie, a very odd film, Falcon and the Snowman.
Yes. Yeah. And that was Sean Penn and Tim Hutton.
That's right.
And we shot that in Mexico City.
John Schlesinger.
And I think Pat Hingle.
It's funny that you mentioned him. I just saw a little bit. Murder, She Wrote was on the other night, and he was on it. He was a nice guy. Very, not like an actor in any way. He was like a small-town guy in a way. Sweet man.
He was always good at those parts.
Yeah. I think he played my husband in that. That was a true story, The Falcon.
Yes, about these two kids who were taking government secrets.
Yes.
And bringing them to the
Russians, yeah.
Well, you knew Sean Penn's dad, didn't you?
Leo,
yeah.
We did one of those. Remember the Amazing Stories,
was
it called?
We had one of the writers in
there. Leo and I did that.
Yeah. Yeah, Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories. And you worked with Blake Edwards on Blind Date.
Yes, I did. But I didn't have much to do in that.
And
Pat Hingle had
a pinky missing.
He did?
Yes.
He fell down an elevator shaft.
Wow.
That was it? That's how he... I thought that would have been a great story.
No, it's true.
It's true.
He did?
Yeah, he fell, but I don't remember the specifics of it. Do you remember?
I don't have that in here.
So he fell down an elevator shaft.
It was a bad accident, and it was in the papers.
Yeah.
It was some kind of accident where he did something to his...
Yeah, I know he lost a pinky. And it's in films you could see.
He could have lost more than a pinky.
Oh, my God, yes.
It was some elevator thing that happened.
He was a terrific character.
Yeah,
actor.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
It's amazing. James Whitmore?
Jimmy Whitmore, yeah.
Another nice
fellow.
What
did I do with him?
Says here a show called The Loner, created by Rod Serling, with James Whitmore.
Huh. Well,
you don't remember some of these.
You know, the truth is about a lot of these things when you do the television thing, you don't get to be with each other that much. I think when you're in a play with people and you see them eight times a week and you have that long, long, that's when you can really begin to hate people. but when you're just, you
or when
know
you do
what
a podcast
I mean?
With them.
Yes.
But it's true. I mean, that's when you get your little, they get under your skin.
Every tiny thing about their personality gets on your nerves.
You were also married to Dennis Dugan, who you and Gilbert have somebody in common.
Oh, yes. My, you were married to Dennis Dugan?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, he directed Problem Child.
That's right.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes.
But I was married to him not then. We were divorced then, or you would have known that.
Yes.
But I have worked with him since.
And what was the show he starred in?
Well, he did Richie Brockelman,
that
Private
was Eye.
Yeah.
Ricky. But wasn't that a Rockford spinoff?
Yes. No, I don't think so.
It was a spinoff of something.
I was married to him then.
Richie Brockelman.
That was good.
I remember.
Who was the man in it? It was an older star.
Oh, God. Is Paul out there? Hey, Paul, let us know the older star from Richie Brockelman, Private Eye.
He'll have an answer in 10 years from now. Yes.
That's our researcher, Joyce. He was fun on that show. It didn't last long.
No, but he was very good on that.
Oh, yeah. He was my director, Dennis Dugan. Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
And recently directed you in Grown Ups.
Yeah, the first Grown Ups.
The first Grown Ups. Paul, what do you got on Richie Brockelman, Private
Nothing.
Eye?
Hi, Joyce. Nice to meet you. Can I share your mic?
Sure. Yes, please. Paul. Yeah. Be my guest.
Just pull it over.
What are we looking for?
Pull it to yourself. Pull it to yourself for
pull
a minute.
Pull it to me. All right. Yeah. So what are we looking at?
Richie Brockelman, Private
Eye. Looking for?
What are we looking
yes.
for? Yeah, I have answers.
See, this tells us.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't even know the question.
So Dennis Dugan is Richie Brockelman, Robert Hogan, Barbara Bawson, Norman Fell.
Norman Fell.
Oh, the great
Norman Fell? No.
Norman Fell in The Pilot.
I
as Mr.
There,
Brockelman.
Wasn't there another man that was the star?
Well, he was Richie
John
Brockelman.
John Randolph as Mr. Brockelman.
Oh, I love John
in
Randolph.
Series.
No. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was just him, but I feel like he had a Jim Garner with him or somebody like that, but it wouldn't have been Jim.
I think it was. Does it say that it was a Rockford Files spinoff, Paul?
Let me see. What does it say here?
Is this picking him up, Frank?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm at a really awkward position, if that helps.
Just make sure we push it.
Now, did you ever work with Norman Fell?
Sure.
Yeah. Right.
I don't see any more in Brockelman.
All right, give her the mic back.
Yeah,
give me my mic.
Thanks for the loan.
I not only worked with him, knew him from New York, like I knew Brett and Jack. You know, they were all from the same period of time.
Yeah, I met him once briefly.
He was cute.
Very, very nice man.
Fun.
And he was one of those who was equally good in drama and comedy.
Yes, I agree. I think he was, too.
Yeah. How about Fritz Weaver?
Yeah, he just, you know.
We just lost him.
Yeah. Fritz and I did a thing with Fritz where we all three women tried to kill him. It was like one of those things. They tried to do something from 11 to 12:30 at night on NBC, I think it was. So it was like three of his ex-wives tried to kill him.
And weren't you in a play with him, too?
Oh, yeah. We were in, I can't think of the name of it right now. Was it the Belasco?
Yeah.
I'll think of it.
Good actor.
Give you. Oh, and another great guy.
Another adorable guy.
and his wife is a very good friend of mine. His wife, who is his widow now, is a very good friend of mine.
What were you going to say about Robert Preston before when we brought up
me? He was great, too. He was.
You've been lucky.
I've been lucky. have been lucky.
Yeah. We're going to make you get some of these people for us.
I thought, actually, in the long run, when I was sort of angry that I had been a child actor for a while, and then I thought, you know, really, if you think about it, it's not a bad environment to be brought up in. It's democratic, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So from the time that I was a kid, really, I was working with African-American people. I was working with Asian people. I was, you know, so that was good. And you... because I didn't have like a great education. I really didn't finish high school. But you pick up like intelligence from plays. Don't you think that's true?
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like in the end that you could do a worse thing in your life.
I'm sure.
I think Danny Bonaducci said, like, because they say it's so terrible, child actors. And he said, being a child actor is great. Being a former child actor is what sucks.
I actually worked with him. What did I do with him?
Danny Bonaducci?
Yeah.
I got to go.
When he was a kid.
His father was a writer, Joe Bonaducci. His father was a TV writer.
You know, he may have done a Good Guys or something.
Okay.
As a kid.
We'll go digging.
As a kid.
Is it true you never worked another job outside of acting?
Never had another job.
Isn't that fascinating?
Well, you started when you were a baby.
Yeah, but you know... Most of the kids don't go on.
Yeah.
Acting. I mean, and you wonder whether it's that they're not that interested, which is what I always hope.
Yeah.
That it isn't that they want to, but they can't, you know. I don't know. But most of the kids that we grew up with did not stay in the business.
Also, what I find very weird and depressing is, like, on the internet and magazines, they'll say, oh, you know, here's the child actor back then, adorable, And here he is now. And you go, well, he grew older like all of us grow older.
Yeah, but they...
He's not a freak. He,
no.
He'd be a freak if he looked 5 years old.
How about Bob Newhart, since I'm throwing names at you, another gentleman?
Well, you know that's true.
Yes.
I mean, you never heard a bad thing about Bob Newhart.
Oh, we wouldn't necessarily want you to say anything bad about him, maybe just an anecdote.
No.
Yeah.
I wish I did, but I worked with him a few times. I had a very good, Marsha Wallace was a good friend of mine, and she was in
What a talented lady.
Yeah. I miss her still. Well, she was in L.A. and I was in New York, but we used to talk an awful lot on the phone. And
how about Alan Alda? You did a play with him.
Yeah.
The best guy, right?
He's great. Yeah. And we were in a play together for a long, long time.
Jake's Women, right?
Yeah, and then we even did it on television. So.
And you didn't even hate him in
the play? I didn't hate him.
There's not a guy you can ever hear a negative word about.
No, you know, he's another one that you can't hear.
Yeah.
So there are all these nice people.
Well, you've had a charmed career, and everybody's been so sweet to you and so kind to you. Except for William Conrad Steiner. Calling you at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Except dirty phone calls from William Conrad.
And yet it can be an abusive business, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You can get your feelings hurt, I think, a lot.
I'm sure.
And not necessarily with the people you work with, but, you know, people can make you feel like not so good.
And it is with child stars, if their voice changes slightly or they get a pimple... People go, oh, God, they're not cute anymore.
They're not cute anymore.
Get rid of them.
It's horrible. That's true.
And then a lot of child stars, it's like they don't know how to live in the real world after that. They just know being on a soundstage.
Yeah, and that can be very unreal, being on a soundstage. I mean, the real world is not being on a soundstage.
And so some of them, they don't know. They don't know how to make... a dentist appointment or anything.
No, that's
like
very
that.
True. That's very true. No, it can be bad. And then they can, you know, lose their money. They can work very hard and not end up with any
Jackie
money.
Jackie Coogan.
You know, stuff like that.
That's the ultimate story.
And you can't get too, you have to get out of that. I think it's harder in Hollywood, honestly. I think that's really a company town. I think you have a better chance of you know, staying really in the real world if you're in a city or, you know, a lot of those stars now, they don't live in Hollywood anymore.
No.
They live in, you know, Wyoming.
Sure.
Where, no, I get it. I really
or
do get
it. Or if you're
George
in Italy.
If you're George, you're in Italy. But,
right.
You know, I get that, don't you?
And sure, sure.
And getting back to Problem Child, we had on the Problem Child himself.
We had him here, yeah.
Michael Oliver, who was the kid. And for a while, it looked like his whole life was going down the drain. And now he, like, works with computers. He's very happy, very content.
Oh, good. That's good.
He supports himself. He accepts his former childhood stardom. But now he's got another life that he totally accepts.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's great that you can do that. Because I think some people can't.
You worked many times with an actor we had in here who was a child star. He was a teen star, but Matthew Broderick.
Oh, yeah. No, he's my friend. I love Matthew. I was with him, you know, when he became a star. And that was really interesting. That was Brighton Beach Memoirs.
Yeah.
And he turned 21. And, it all happened. We did the show first in Los Angeles and then in San Francisco. And then we opened on Broadway. And, I mean, it was gigantic. He became a huge star suddenly on Broadway overnight. And his father had just died.
James
Broderick, 9 months before, 8 months before. And, it was really something to see him try to handle himself through it. And he, I think, is a real person. I mean, he never drank the Kool-Aid.
New York.
Yeah.
Growing up here instead of growing up in the theater world.
Very unassuming.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Totally real. Never changed.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so funny because he thought it was all over when that movie fell apart. He was supposed to make that movie.
Which movie?
With Martin Ritt, No Small Affair, and Sally Field. He came in and told us that.
Oh, right.
And the movie fell apart. And he thought, that's it, I'm done.
Yes.
And then he had a cold streak where he couldn't get any parts. And then, boom.
And he's so good, I think. He's so talented.
So good in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, darling. Talia, my daughter, is on a show with Sarah.
Oh, yeah. She's on Divorce.
They're on Divorce.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, have you ever worked with Talia?
Yes. We were in Jake's Women together, actually. Oh. Jake's Women is another Neil play.
Yeah.
We didn't work together.
Yeah.
Alan Alda was in it, and Talia, and yeah, she's a great girl.
Yeah.
Joyce, you've had an incredible career.
I have.
An incredible run.
I didn't realize what a great career until I spent the afternoon, or evening, I should say, with you two guys.
You're so sweet.
I am definitely going to feel very good tomorrow. Sleep well tonight.
We'll come back and we'll do it again, and we'll go through the other half of your credits.
Okay.
I tell you.
Yeah, I'll figure out who did Richie Brockelman with Dennis. Well, I'm going to figure that one out.
Our listeners are screaming it into their
And I guess there's no way to avoid the line, we haven't scratched the surface.
No, I mean, you know, it's like McLeod and Mannix and Hawaii 5-0 and Cannon and every sitcom.
That Dennis was good. What
Dennis
was Dennis Weaver.
Weaver.
Yeah, he was funny.
You did everything.
I did everything. What more? Now I'm going to go home.
Well, you have anything you want to plug before you go?
I have nothing to plug, but I have a dog. And I know that right now that dog is going, where the hell is she?
Tell us about the dog.
She said it was just going to be a couple of hours, and now what's going on? Where is she? But I totally enjoyed this, really.
Oh,
it
made me feel
good.
A thrill for us.
Oh, thank you. This has been Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast with my co-host, Frank Santopadre. And we've had on Joyce Van Patten. Thank you, Joyce.
You have to be crazy not to.
Thank you. And thanks to Richard Kind.
Red velvet trees and lions, grinning lions, candy witches, eating lychee leaves, spinning rainbowing lights.
Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast is produced by Dara Gottfried and Frank Santopadre, with audio production by Frank Verderosa. Our researchers are Paul Rayburn and Andrea Simmons. Web and social media is handled by Mike McPadden, Greg Pear, and John Bradley Seals. Special audio contributions by John Beach. Special thanks to John Murray, John Fotiatis, and Nutmeg Creative. Especially Sam Giovanco and Daniel Farrell for their assistance.
Be Douglas, and so does Gertrude Stein. I love you, Alice B. Douglas. I'm gonna change your name tonight. I love you, Alice B. Douglas. And so does Gertrude Stein. I love you, Alice B. Douglas. I'm gonna change your name to mine. I love you, Alice B. Douglas.